We're turning to that portion that we read together in Romans chapter 5. With God's word open before us, let's bow just in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again tonight for the open book. We thank Thee we have the word of the living God. And we thank Thee that we know that what we preach is direct from heaven. And, O God, we ask Thee that tonight that You will write it upon each one of our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit. Enable me to preach Thy word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk for a short time tonight on peace in the midst of the storm. And we're using the first verse there. In Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as the day of the return of the Lord Jesus approaches, we live in a world of turmoil and restlessness. The world is preparing for Antichrist, and then Jesus will return. All around, there is a cry for peace. The whole earth groaneth for peace. Peace of mind, a shelter from the stormy blast. There is no contentment or happiness in general today. Man seems to be running all the time, seeking happiness and peace of mind and peace of soul. Years ago, when life had a more leisurely pace, people seemed more content. And yet we still had war, and we still had trouble, and we still had bother. In Psalm 55 and verse 6, the psalmist David, when oppressed by the wicked, afraid and trembling before his enemies, longing for peace. In verse 6 he says, "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." His problem was that he had problems with someone in the church that he went to. But he was in such a state, and he was down and depressed, that he cried out, "I wish I could fly away and be at rest." There be few that at some time or other in life's journey haven't wished for wings to escape the pressures of life. Small children are being pressurized at school. They're being assessed at an even younger age. Older children are put under pressure to do well at school. They're made to feel a failure if they're not passing their exams and getting their degrees. And, you know, if you look at a lot of the business people in the plumbing trade and the electrical trade and in the building trade, and a lot of businesses, the majority of the older people never passed an exam in their life. And yet, the Lord blessed them, and they were enabled to go out and be able to take up the opportunity. But nowadays, you daren't do anything unless you have got a degree. And the majority of people that has got a degree couldn't even sweep a floor. Because they have knowledge up here, yes, but they have never done it properly. I remember reading in a paper where this nurse and this young girl came in and she'd passed her, got her degree in nursing. And she was showing her around the ward and the different things they had to do. And they came to this bed and she said, "You know, this old lady has messed herself. You'll give me a hand now to clean her up." And she said she just took two steps back and looked at her and says, "How dare you," she says, "I do not do mess." And she'd got her degree in nursing. And you know, these things have changed over the years. Teenagers today have a restlessness created in some respect by the TV. And all unreal lifestyle portrayed, an age of wanting possessions, believing that possessions will bring happiness and contentment and peace of mind, always looking for that which will bring contentment and true happiness. of course, is past the TV stage now. It's iPads, mobile phones and computers. And you have to be very careful driving through our town in Omagh, because the young ones are going up with their phone and they're looking at it and they just walk straight out in front of you. And they don't even realise where they're going. And you daren't speak to the young people today because they're all caught up with their phone and the internet and what's going on. It's an age of continually running here and there. Drink, drugs have brought unhappiness to many a home. It's a vicious circle. Many today find the pressure of life too great, and they're looking for a way out and cannot find it. More and more young people are committing suicide, and older ones as well. The devil, of course, comes to a young person or an older person, and when they're down in the depths of despair, when they're down with drink or drugs or the pressures of life, and he comes and he will say to them, you'd be far better away. Remember talking to a young man, and he was in the hospital, and he said to me, he says, I felt like taking my own life, because he says, I wanted to get away. I was causing too much problems, he said, to the wife and the children. They'd be better without me. I said, you know, what you're talking is a load of nonsense. He says, what do you mean? I said, if you had have taken your own life, you would have destroyed the life of your wife and your children for the rest of their days. But I said, the old devil tempted you, but says I, God gave you the grace not to do it. And you know, that young man is doing the very best today. Why? Because the Lord kept his hand upon him. This is why the clubs and pubs and discos are full, young and old seeking a release from the pressures of life. Peace is escaping many today. Nations are turning and they're looking for world peace. But the Bible teaches us that in the last days there will be no peace. Churches are seeking peace and unity, and yet no peace is found or will be found in false unity that's about today, as they try to say, oh, everybody should believe the same thing. Turmoil there was before the flood, and not until the Lord Jesus returns will there be world peace. Where is true peace found? We want to look at Romans 5 and 1 and see what the Bible says about peace. Now this text, this verse 1, it suggests to us, first of all, man separated from God. This text suggests that there was a time of separation from God. We have peace with God. There was a time whenever they had no peace with God. The verse 10, there it says, for if when we were enemies. The Bible teaches that man is born in sin, separated from God by sin, an enemy of God. And you know, today people don't believe that. They believe that they are good. They believe that they've gone to church, they've gone through Sunday school, they've been baptized, they've been confirmed, and they do the best they can, and they don't really have any problem with God. But what does the Bible teach us? That from the day we're born in sin. In Psalm 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We were enemies of God. And if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, then you're an enemy of God. Don't ever believe anything else, because that's what the Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. In the verse 12, that we read there in Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam's sin was imputed to every man. And we have in this world two deaths. We have spiritual death, and we have temporal death. Whenever we leave this body behind us, and we go out unto God's eternity. Peace that reigned in the Garden of Eden was destroyed by sin. And lack of peace in the world today is because men and women are sinners, separated from God, separated, doing their own thing. Man doing that which is right in his own eyes, not ordering life according to God's law. You know, sometimes people think that the problem is it's because people are poor, that people are homeless. These are the result of sin. Man's greed. But let me tell you, there is a day coming when all will stand before the eternal God of heaven and give an answer even for their greed. You know, it also brings fear of death and the judgment of God upon our lives. Judgment of God. People don't believe that there is going to be a day of judgment, when those that are not saved will stand before the great white throne judgment. And God will look at them, or the Lord Jesus Christ will look at them and say, "Depart from me, for I know you not, unto everlasting flames." That brings a restlessness upon life, always seeking peace and happiness, yet always up ahead, never achieved, living from one day to the next. There are others, and they say, "If I had a job, if I were married." I'll not say nothing more about that. If I had a family, if I had a home, if I had money, if I was popular, always seeking peace in the wrong place and no realization of their sinfulness. I want to ask you, are you in our meeting tonight and that's your position? Always unsettled in your mind, worried about life itself, worried about death and eternity, worried about your position in life, worried about your possessions, who will get them after you die? Well, you needn't worry, because there's one thing certain, they'll fight over it if you haven't it left properly, and they will get what they want out of it, and you'll not be there to worry about it. Worried about your sin, trying to do better, not getting very far, reforming your life. One day up, the next day down, no peace, no lasting joy, no happiness, no contentment, only turmoil of mind, restlessness of spirit, fear of the future. Your sin has and is doing its job in your life, gradually leading you down to a lost sinner's hell. There is no peace on the broad road. And you know, you need to realize tonight, if you're down and you're depressed, there's nothing wrong with you. Now, you might think that's odd and me saying that. But you know, sometimes we have to realize that we all get down. Like, you read the Old Testament, and all the Old Testament saints of God, they all had their days when they were down and they were depressed, and the pressures of life came upon them. And you and I are no different. The pressures of life come upon us. But then we see man united to God. Yes, we see in the text man separated from God, but we see man united to God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Calvin said on justification, the main hinge on which salvation turns. justified in God's sight. Therefore, being justified by faith, what does that mean? It means that in the sight of a thrice holy God, we are classed as perfect in his sight. And you say, how can that be? If I'm a sinner, if I'm born in sin, if I'm an enemy of God, and God is against me because of my sin, how can I be just? Well, it's very, very simple. Man is restored to fellowship with God, reconciled to God. You see, we must be justified in his sight. We must be made acceptable to God. God will not look upon your sin except in wrath and anger. And we need to be justified in God's sight. How are we united to God? Who is it that justifies us in God's sight? Thank God, Jesus was born sinless. He lived a sinless life. He kept the law of God perfectly in our place, something you and I could never do. And he loves sinners such as you and I. In the verse 8 and 9, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Justified in God's sight by his blood. Faith in Christ. The just shall live by faith, we're told. Faith in the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what a tremendous thing it is to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, left heaven's glory. He came into this sin-cursed world, and he was put on the cross of Calvary, and he was punished for our sins. He paid the debt that we owe for our sins upon the middle cross. He shed his precious blood that our sins would be washed away. And we are united to God by faith in his blood. The judgment of God for sin is only done away with by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And you know, that is tremendous. Our works can't save us. Coming to the free church can't save you. Being religious can't save you. And these things are good in themselves, but they do not save you. In Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We either accept salvation as a gift, or we don't get it at all. The price for our sins has been paid by the Lord Jesus on Calvary's tree. You know, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The reformers realized that salvation wasn't in a church, wasn't in a creed, wasn't in works or in penance, but in the Lord Jesus. And they left Rome because of its salvation by works. Beware of anyone who says that salvation is in the church. It's contrary to the Bible and what the Bible teaches. Man separated from God by his sin, but man united to God through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you tonight, have you had the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to your heart? Are you born again into God's family? Can you say, yes, I am saved? Because I look back to, I was going to say a time and a date, but even you don't remember the date. As long as you know that there was a time in your life when you cried unto God to save you, and he saved you. Why? Because you came and confessed your sins and cried unto him, and he saved you. And thank God you can say, yes, I am saved, because I came and put my trust and faith in him. But then, man at peace with God. We have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Not might have peace, may have peace, but we have peace present right now. And you know, this wonderful peace is peace with God. Knowing our sins forgiven, knowing that heaven is our home, knowing victory over sin. And you know, that is tremendous, that you and I can know victory over sin. And chapter 6 and the verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And Romans 8 and the verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, free from the penalty of the law. And when we're saved from sin and reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, we are united to God through that blood and righteousness of Christ. And when God looks down upon you and I that are saved by God's grace, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ, who has bore the punishment for our sin upon the cross of Calvary. And on that basis, we are accepted by the eternal God of heaven. That's why we can come and get into the very presence of the eternal God in heaven in prayer, because we have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot only have peace with God, but we can have the peace of God. Now, we can have the peace with God without the peace of God. But we cannot have the peace of God without the peace with God. You see, peace with God is what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And Isaiah 26 and the verse 3, it tells us, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You're a Christian tonight. Do you want the peace of God? You have the peace with God, yes. But if you want the peace of God, then dwell in his word and dwell in prayer. Many Christians today lack peace of God because they do not dwell in fellowship with God daily. Why do we come to church twice on the Sabbath day? Why do we have a prayer meeting and Bible study in the church? Because we have fellowship together, one with the other, and best of all, with the eternal God of heaven. And that brings to our heart the peace of God. It's not easy for the saved person to live in this world today. The immorality, the false religion, the charismatic movement, really, we have an attack of the devil upon us day by day. But thank God, if we dwell in his word and in prayer, if we feed our faith and our doubts, then we'll starve to death. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, it tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. My dear friend, tonight, if you're not saved, you need peace with God. And the only way that you will have peace with God will be to come and confess your sins and cry unto God to save you. And he will save you by cleansing your sin in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be born again into his family. You will become a son of God. You will receive eternal life. And you will be guaranteed a home in heaven. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You see, if salvation depended on us keeping our salvation, we would never get to heaven, most of us. But thank God our salvation does not depend on what you and I do. It depends solely on what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And you know, whenever you think about it, God, before the world began, chose to save you and me that are saved in eternity past. And he chose the means of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent him into this world to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. And thank God tonight we're saved. And we have the peace of God, the peace with God in our hearts. And thank God tonight. Praise him day by day. And read his word. And pray day by day to him. And you know, sometimes people say, oh, it's not easy to pray. And it isn't easy to pray. And sometimes people think, you know, yes, we should be down on our knees and we should be spending hours in prayer. My dear friend, let me tell you this. You can pray every moment of every day as you go about your daily round and common task. God can bring into your heart something. Whether it's some trouble and you're in bother and you don't know where to go, you can lift up your heart and say, Lord, help me. I'm in trouble. And he'll draw nigh to you and he'll help you. He'll bring into your heart some brothers, maybe a sister, maybe a workmate, maybe a neighbor, and you want to see them saved, and you can lift up your heart and say, Lord, would you save so-and-so? And we can come, and we can daily, bit by bit, come, and we can seek the Lord in prayer. And what a tremendous thing it is that we can do that day by day, week by week, and month by month, and know that we have that access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. We can have the peace of God by dwelling in his presence day by day. But if there's someone in the service tonight and you're not saved, you have no peace, and you never will have peace until you come and repent of your sin and call upon the name of the Lord. And what will happen? He will forgive your sins. He will cleanse you in his precious blood. He'll make you a child of God. And he'll give you a home in heaven. Isn't that tremendous? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not the church. Thank God it's not the church has anything to do with salvation. I remember a wee woman came to me the time I was in business many years ago, and she went to one of the local Presbyterian churches and that I used to go to before I left. And she said to me, Ronnie, and the tears was running down her cheeks, she said, you know, they had a meeting last night in our church to appoint elders and committee. And she says, my husband didn't get it. And she says, you know why he didn't get it? She said, he just worked for BT. And you know, in that church, you would not have got an office unless you're a doctor or a lawyer or a big businessman, because that's what run the church. There was one saved elder in that church in my time. And you know, thank God, it's not the church that saves you. Thank God, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes to you tonight and he says, come unto me. Will you come tonight? If we can be of any help to you, we'd love to pray with you. We can't save you, but we can pray with you and encourage you to come and put your trust and faith in him. Let's bow.